I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world from the arcane to the mundane and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together.
Hello, welcome to the 12th house podcast. I'm Michelle Pelazon Lipsitz, and I'm going to say something that you might not like. I don't think that this thing, the thing that you're working on or the thing that you're dreaming about is the thing. I don't think it's the big thing. And I actually think it's pretty harmful for us to assume that the thing that we are focused on is the be all end all, our legacy, the biggest thing that we'll do, the most important thing that we'll do. And when we think that way, it holds us back and it leads to a less satisfying, a less joyful, happy, and abundant life. And I'm just going to say it. I hate that. That is like the opposite of what my brain wants, or at least growing up, what my brain wanted. When I was younger, I wanted to be a professional ballet dancer. I mean, it was an obsession, 20-year hyperfixation. And I thought that the thing is, the best thing that could ever happen to me, the ultimate thing I can do is get into American Ballet Theater. Okay? That is going to be the thing, my accomplishment of my lifetime. That's it. That's what I want. And then I started to grow up and I realized that's maybe not what I wanted to do. And I felt, what the fuck? Wait a second. I've been spending the last 15 years of my consciousness orienting towards this one goal. And that's how I would know I'd made it and that I'd lived a good life and that I'd done a good job, that I was successful, is by doing this thing. And now that's actually no longer what I want. So how can I tell if I'm successful? Oh my God, what the fuck? And so that changed into some other dance company. And then I realized, I don't actually think that being a professional dancer is what's going to do it for me. I want to help people. Okay, I guess I'll just go work in business. Okay, because businesses help people, right? Because what do you need to help people? You need money a lot of the time. And who makes money? Businesses. Great. So I'll do that. Okay. So then I started working in tech and I was like, okay, this is not quite it, but I'm confident that I will find my way. And then eventually I had the idea for Holisticism. The name popped into my head and I was like, cool, this can be it. This can be the thing. And it was the thing. I was so excited about it. It was like it is my obsession. And when I was early days in Holisticism, I was so partially excited by it because I was like, this could be the big thing that I do. You know, this could be the thing that people know me for. And the thing that proves to me, if it's successful, that I'm successful, I'll have done it. And that was suffocating. And I was really lucky to be in these spaces where I got to talk to people who had started businesses and sold businesses and had lots of different careers. And I started to see that the happiest people weren't the people that had one amazing, incredible hit company and then sold it or worked at it for 20 years. The people that were happiest had lots of projects that they were working on and had almost a non-attachment attitude to each thing that they did. And that didn't mean that they didn't care about it. They cared deeply and they worked really hard a lot of the time. In fact, harder than I was probably willing to work. But they didn't have the expectation that it was going to be the thing that brought them accolades or praise or fortune or fame or whatever it is that to you signifies success. And around this time, I read this article by Paul Graham. It's called A Project of One's Own. It's an essay on his website. I think it's paulgraham.com. Just Google Paul Graham. He's a venture capitalist. And in it, he emphasizes taking on your own personal projects, advocating for personal projects. And he says, that's why starting a company is so fun, is because it's a personal project. It's an idea that you have and that you're like, yeah, this is really cool. And we should have that excitement and that enthusiasm towards anything, any project of our own. He talks about how when we're young, we do projects all the time. We have little projects in our youth that we take on. And then eventually as we get older, our job becomes one big project. And because we have this lack of variety and time, you know, projects that take a short period of time or a medium period of time, it's actually like really draining to us. We feel like the trudging of humanity or of like existence. We're like, I just have to do this forever. Damn, that's depressing. And I think that it would really benefit a lot of us to relinquish our grip on this idea of having one big life goal, that if I do this thing or if I make this thing happen, I will be successful, and to instead think of our life as a series of little projects that we're undertaking. And what does that mean? It means that we have multiple projects that we're working on. A project can be anything. A project can be, I'm working on redesigning my kitchen. It can be, I want to print a book of my poetry, a chapbook. I want to open a little cafe that's open only on Sunday mornings on the corner of my block. I want to take an art class. I want to go on a tour around Cape Horn and relive what it was like to go from New York to California on a boat during the California Gold Rush. I don't know. What's the project that you want to do? What gets you excited? They can be so varied in their nature and their scope. They can be ideas for small businesses or just ideas for creative endeavors. They can be trips. They can be parties. They can be recurring events. They can be extracurricular activities. But the benefit of thinking this way and organizing your life in this way is, number one, you're always learning and you're always upskilling. And that is really satisfying to us. We love novelty, especially if you're someone who's neurodivergent. We need novelty in our lives in order to feel motivated. And that's often why we feel stuck or why we get burnt out, because we don't have something new to work towards, something that's exciting us. And when we improve our skills, right, when we do something we've never done before, when we work through something that's challenging, we see an increase in our understanding of our competency, which improves our confidence. And that also just makes us happier. Where we're like, damn, I kind of rock. Go me. We also have increased resilience when we have a variety of interests and activities. Have you ever gone through a breakup? Period, full stop. Have you ever gone through a breakup where you made your life the other person? This was me to a T in my 20s. If I was dating you, you were my world, and I'm not proud of that. That was the truth. And when you break up, you're like, oh, fuck, where are all my friends? I don't do anything. Where am I going to meet new people? How am I going to spend my time? It's almost like that's the worst. One of the worst parts of the breakup is that you realize how much emptiness is in your life now that this person is gone. And that's a shame. It's a damn shame that like that investment that you'd put in is up in smoke. Sometimes when we have lots of interests and activities that we vibe on, that we don't take always super seriously, sometimes we take them really seriously, inevitably we're going to have failures. But the failures are not so catastrophic. And the failures, like, we learn from them. We can always learn from failure. We learn more from failure than we do success. But when your only project and your only focus is, let's say, a company that you've started and it fails, all of a sudden your identity, your social life, your money, all of it is in the crapper. And that is really overwhelming. And that is really hard to recover from. It's not impossible to recover from by any stretch of the imagination. But having that diversity of what makes us, of how we get to know ourselves, how we get to see ourselves, creates more resiliency, creates like a more flexible bounce back, and helps us recover more quickly, and ultimately makes us happier. It makes us stronger, makes us more flexible. And then finally, if we have lots of practices and projects that we're working on that are in all these different areas of our lives, we have just absolutely enhanced creativity. If we're cross-pollinating all these ideas and concepts. And that's really what people who are nonlinear thinkers are amazing at. They naturally do this. They have spiderweb thinking, which means that they connect ideas that aren't always naturally connected to each other in a linear fashion. And they are able to build these sort of corollaries that are surprising to other people, but still very relevant. They're not like cuckoo bananas. Let me see how I can get from Arcade Fire, the band, to Parmesan Crisps, the snack, in, I don't know, 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, when you ask someone who's neurodivergent to do that or who's a nonlinear thinker to do that, you start to think of that band or that snack in a really different way because you start to see how they may be connected in surprising, delightful ways. And you never know what doors open when you start to allow yourself to watch your spiderweb thinking. And the more sort of little stars that we can add into our sky, these departure points, these points of knowledge or experience, the more places our web can connect. I hope that made sense. I'm doing a lot of things with my fingers right now that if you were here, you would get it. And I think that like that sounds really cool and sexy. And Let's also just, let's take down the one big thing approach, because maybe it's not so cool. There's a huge risk of burnout and disappointment if that one big thing that we've put all of our eggs into this basket, if the basket breaks, we are screwed to dead, as one of my grandparents used to say. The stress and pressure that's associated with, I have to make this work, the grasping, the scarcity mindset that comes along with. That's actually, honestly, we could probably put it into those two categories. One big thing is a scarcity mindset. Multiple projects is an abundance mindset. And finally, when we are hyper-focused on one area of our lives, which it's really easy to get in that place, and it feels good, right, when we're there, when we're really focused on work or when we're really focused on a relationship, it feels so amazing when it's going well. But when it's going badly, it feels terrible. It feels awful, and everything feels awful. And that's because we've neglected other aspects of our lives, our relationships, our hobbies, our own personal growth, our own personal understanding, our spirituality, our well-being. And it's much harder. It's almost like you have these guardrails or these safeties on when you have lots of projects that you focus on. And I think that people who have a tendency towards one big thing, the one big thing approach, and I would call myself this. I'm a one big thing, like, by nature. That's where I want to be, because it's really hard for me to jump from idea to idea. And that's why systems really helps me. That's why thinking about these projects and setting up projects with a project plan really helps me, because I can work on a project and be really heads down in it, and then relatively easily, without any pain or suffering, jump into the next thing when I have, you know, when I've set it up that way. But my nature is to just go heads down on one thing for a really long time. And that's usually to my detriment. Sometimes it's successful and it can get a lot done, but so many other parts of my life suffer. And I've learned that lesson too many times to make it again, although I often am tempted to. I hear the siren song of the one big thing approach. And I think that if you're someone who is a nonlinear thinker, you are already excited and interested in lots of different things. And you probably have ideas constantly for, oh, it'd be so cool to make a museum tour, or I would love to make my own dress for my bachelorette party, or, you know what, I think it would be really cool to put together a barbershop quartet. And so often we have these ideas, they float in, they're genius, and then we don't know what to do with them. We get overwhelmed, or we get scared, or we forget about them because we get distracted. And part of that is because that's how our brains work. And a big part of it, that's a small part, a big part of it is because we don't have systems that support us in the way that we think and the way that we actually execute on these genius ideas. And I think that your life improves significantly, exponentially, when you have these projects. We've talked about research plans before. We've talked about project plans before on this podcast. And at least I'll speak from the eye here. My life is so much better when I have lots of projects cooking that I'm excited about. They can be small things like painting the garage. They can be really big things like this Spacey's pad. But my life feels so much fuller and more exciting, and everything seems to flourish and rise when I sort of get to mix all of these ideas together in my mind. And the way that I can do that and not lose my train of thought and not get distracted and to stay focused is by having a really clear system that's made for me and my brain, and that's responsive to me and my brain. And that's something that we all can build pretty easily once we understand our own motivations and we know some like basic tenets of how nonlinear brains work and what we can do to support them and keep them on track, where they're amazing, where they have super skills, and where they may have some areas of deficit and what we need in order to make up for that deficit. And usually it's not as hard as you think, but it's often not something that's been taught to you in the past or ever. So that's my argument, my op-ed for why I think you should have lots of little projects that you work on, little, medium, big projects that you work on, as opposed to the one big thing. And why I think that, honestly, even we talk about being prolific creatives, people that are prolific, they're not known for one piece of work. They're known for being themselves, being an incredible version of themselves. They may have some standout works, like thinking about Picasso, but we don't think of one painting when we think of Picasso. We think of Picasso, the person. And I think I would rather be known for being Michelle than for a company or a nameless piece of art, a singular piece of art. I think I'd rather be known for my legacy of and everything that contains than just one thing. But you know, that's me. And maybe you disagree, but I'm giving this to you to chew on, mull over, think about, and then let me know what you think. Because, by the way, when you are allowed to do lots of projects, you're allowed to be and embrace all the parts of your identity. You don't have to just be tarot girl or the chef person or former dancer turned Pilates instructor. You can be all the dynamic versions of your identity. You can embrace all the dynamic versions of your identity. And that feels liberating, freeing, in my opinion. So that's what I'm giving you today. I'll let you sit with that. And if you are like, damn, yes, I'm going to be a project bitch. I think you'll love System Spells. It's a class that I teach called Notion for Magical Body System Spells. We talk about how to create systems that support you in nonlinear thinking and execute on the things that you want to do so that you can live a more purposeful, exciting, abundant life. Easy breezy, beautiful, clever girl. And this is the last time I'm going to be teaching this class live for probably like the next year, at least until the end of this calendar year. So if you want to take it, if you've been hoping it would open back up again, this is your probably last chance to do it for a very long time. And I would love to have you. So you can find out the details in the show notes, and I'll see you on the next step. The 12th House is produced by the Holisticism team, with theme music by Nathan McKay and edited by the incredible Softer Sound Studio, who you can find more information about in our show notes. Thanks for listening.